Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon, folks. Last week, this whole show business kind of got tossed off to the side because we had a lot of things going on here. Couple of thunderstorms at the time that should have had the show, so I decided not to do it. We also had other things going on. I had to go to a forged men's conference at church, and that was for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I was actually there at church when the show was supposed to start. The church that I had to be at was on the other side of town, so I couldn't just leave like I normally do from my church and get here in a couple of minutes and do the show. I was way on the other side of town, so I couldn't do it. I had it rescheduled for Sunday, and then something happened on Sunday. I ended up having to go and do some things that day, too, so I wasn't here during the time I should have done my show. So I had it essentially canceled because everything just seemed to be working against it. No matter what I had, because I had some good stuff for last week, but I've had to redo all of it. One of the things that I had found for this week, Senator Cruz talked to Newsmax and said that Alexandro Mayorkas is a flat-out liar, that he's flat-out lying about the border being closed and secure, because it's not. And Cruz talked to Newsmax about this, and I have the video for that, or part of the audio for that, actually. It's about 5 minutes, so I'll play that now, and then I'll get into the story after that.
Senator, thanks for joining us today. You were recently down at the border. Senator, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, says the border is closed. Okay. From what you see, tell viewers, give them a first-hand view, because that's what he's telling everyone. A, it's closed, it's safe. What did you see? What do you want people to know?
Well, what he's saying is a flat-out lie. Last weekend, I brought 7 senators down to the border. I've been to the border many, many times. It's the worst I've ever seen. It is utter chaos. We have open borders. We went out. First thing we did, we landed Thursday night. We went out on a midnight patrol with the Border Patrol. You don't have to go and hunt for people crossing illegally. Within minutes, you encounter group after group after group. It is a steady stream of humanity. First group we encountered was 3 teenagers, 16 and 17 years old, traveling alone. The next group we encountered was about a dozen people, mostly women and children. There were 2 little girls in that group who were both 7 years old. They were both unaccompanied minors. They didn't have a parent. They didn't have a family member. They weren't sisters. They were just with a larger group. They had been brought over by violent drug cartels. When we were visiting with those 2 little girls, the Border Patrol showed us a patch of grass about 100 yards from where we were standing, where a couple of weeks earlier they had found 2 little girls, aged 5 and 6, who had been violently raped by the drug cartels. They had to provide medical care because these girls were in really bad shape. This is happening, Sean, every minute of every hour of every day.
But this is what I don't get. When you see that, and again, this isn't something that you, I mean, you now brought 7 other senators down there, and we did a special on this on the network the other day. Did they respond to you at all? When you bring this up and say, how do you say it's closed? Or does anyone in this administration give back to you or any of the other senators?
No, they ignore it. They don't try to defend it. So Joe Biden hasn't been to the border once as president. Kamala Harris has not been to the Rio Grande Valley once. Since she was named the so-called border czar, she won't even bother to show up. Democrat senators, almost none of them have been to the border to
so
see
can I
less
just,
chaos.
Here's what I don't get. You just talked very vividly about the experience that these children are having. 50-something individuals have been on the terrorist watch list.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
None of this is in dispute.
Yep.
Why? Why? If all of this is in plain sight, I cannot get my head wrapped around, if you care about children, if you care about the security of this country, what could possibly be your motive?
Because they don't give a damn. The Democrats...
You think it's that simple?
I think they put politics above everything else. And on immigration, they've handed the agenda over to the radicals who embrace an open border. Right now, what Mayorkas is trying to do is make the process of open borders more efficient. So he actually tracks efficiency, but here's what efficiency is. From the moment you apprehend someone, how quickly do you release them? Let's shrink the time right. So we can let them go even faster. And this is designed, look, in the last week, we've seen the mayor of New York City and the mayor of Washington, D.C. say, we're being drowned in illegal aliens. Help us. We need help. You know what? If bright blue Democrat cities can't handle it, what do you think it's like in South Texas and Laredo and McAllen and Eagle Pass and Del Rio? That's why, and I've said this multiple times, I think South Texas, which has been Democrat for 100 years, is turning red right. in November. Because you can't defend this. And the Democrats aren't even trying. The reason Biden doesn't go is if he went, he'd bring the TV camera.
Right, he can't deny it.
And look, Newsmax will cover it. Fox will cover it. But nobody else will. Where's CNN? Where are the networks? They treat it. He is counting on the complicity of the corporate media to pretend this simply doesn't exist.
That's right. There are several Republicans that talk about impeaching members of the cabinet, particularly Mayorkas, if they get
yes.
the majority. Do you think that that's a wise move, considering, I mean, because Mayorkas is basically just filling the
yes.
Biden agenda, right? So does replacing him or impeaching him, A, solve a problem, and B, would you support the effort?
So, absolutely yes, and it's something I called for when I was on the border this weekend with seven senators. I think Republicans are going to take the House in November, and I think we have a good chance of taking the Senate. It's not as certain that we take the Senate as it is the House. I think one of the very first orders of business should be impeaching Mayorkas.
Okay.
I think we'll have the votes to do that in the House. It'll go to the Senate, and then I think the Senate, it is our obligation to conduct a serious trial, a full trial, where we put these facts before the American people. We cause Democrats to look in the eyes of the children who are being assaulted, the people who are being killed. You know, in South Texas, I met with ranchers who showed me photograph after photograph of dead people, illegal aliens they find every week on their ranches. The coyotes just leave pregnant women to die, leave elderly people to die. A few weeks ago in San Antonio, there was a tractor trailer with 53 people who died of basically cooked in an oven, including a child as young as 13. The Biden body bags keep piling up. And the Democrats, they don't care. They don't intend to do anything to stop it. I think a trial in the Senate laying out these facts would be incredibly important because it would get them in front of the American people.
Right.
Now, this one, Ted Cruz is actually saying what needs to be done here, folks. We've got the media. They won't even report this kind of stuff. They just won't. The only way you'll hear stuff like this is to listen to Newsmax or Breitbart or One America News or Western Journal or sometimes Fox. Fox has been doing some things that actually make me think a lot of the lamestream lying media that I'm always talking about. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, all of these, they won't even touch this stuff. And they won't touch it because it goes against their way of thinking. You know, they don't want the American people to know that children are dying. They do not want the American people to know that the coyotes are bringing these kids in, raping them on the trip, like these 5 and 6 year olds that Ted Cruz was talking about. The media doesn't want to talk about this. They don't want the American people to know about this because if they know about it, then they will do something about it. Well, I keep seeing on Newsmax that millions and millions and millions and millions of people are watching Newsmax every day, which is a good thing. And I keep hoping that people start waking up, start listening to things like Newsmax, NBC, or Newsmax and Breitbart TV and One America News. These are the places that you're going to get the correct news of what is going on in Washington, D.C., down at our border. These are the places that are going to tell you where these people are going and what the American government, in the terms of Joe Biden, is letting these people do. They're being scattered all over the United States, folks. They're not being stopped at the border. They're not being detained in Mexico like they were when Trump was president. They weren't being brought in then. They were being held in Mexico, detained in Mexico, so they weren't just streaming over the border. And you didn't see this problem at the border with people rushing the border like they are now until they found out that Trump was no longer president. That's when it started. And on top of that, Trump, Biden has been lying to us constantly. Last year he told us that if you're vaccinated, you cannot catch COVID. Well, now 1 year later, he's been twice vaccinated and twice boosted, so he's had four shots for COVID, and he's got it. He caught it. Don't know where it's coming from. The press secretary that he's using now is such a moron anyway, but she says, this doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter, folks. It matters because the government is lying to us every turn of the way. They're lying to us every time they turn around. And then we have people like Rashida Tlaib claiming that concerned parents at school board meetings are white supremacy. Folks, what we have to learn here, and I'll read that story to you because that one's just makes my blood boil. But what we have to do, folks, is we have to wake up. We have to wake up to know what is going on and what is coming, because what's coming is not pretty, I guarantee you.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face, and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Things that we have to realize here, folks, is that Mayorkas lies to us. It's just like Ted Cruz said in that video, that audio that I played just before as the show was starting. Mayorkas is telling us, look, the border is secure. And he said this during remarks at an Aspen Security Forum in Colorado. He said, but the administration is still working to make the border more secure, he said. He added, and then that has been a historic challenge. But he says that the border is not open. But he hasn't been down there. He hasn't been down there. Most all the Democrats have not been down there. Harris, our so-called vice president, is also the so-called border czar. She's supposed to be taking care of all of this. She hasn't been down to the border. She says she had, was, but she was like 50, 75 miles away. She didn't get close. She didn't want to get close because she knew it was dangerous and she didn't want to face it. But Ted Cruz did. And he went as far as to say that Mayorkas flat out lied. He's completely lied about all of this. The border's not closed. The border's not secure. But Ted Cruz went down there last week, took seven senators down to the border. He said, I've been to the border many, many times. It's the worst I've ever seen, he told Spicer and Company on Thursday at Sean Spicer. He said, it's utter chaos. We have open borders. Whereas Mayorkas on Tuesday said the U.S.-Mexico border is secure as migrant crossings have hit an all-time high. He said, look, the border is secure. The Biden administration is still working to make the border more secure. What that has been a historic challenge. Now, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection announced last week that there were 207,000 migrant encounters at the border in June, compared with 189,000 plus last year. More than 1.95 million migrants were encountered crossing the border in fiscal year 2021, and about 1.75 million have been encountered in the fiscal year 2022, and it's not over yet. That ends in late September, so we've still got several months left to go on that one. Cruz, on his outing, said it was easy to spot people trying to cross. They used to have a set of cameras that were set up that people like me and you who had a computer and a good connection to the internet could sign up for and actually watch certain cameras. I used to watch, I think, camera 7 and camera 2 at different times. I think camera 2 was over the Rio Grande River. Camera 7 was right out in the middle of nowhere, and in the distance you could see a train track. Every once in a while a train would go by. But you would see, every once in a while, movement out there. And when you saw movement, you were supposed to call this number and report it. That thing's no longer going, which is sad, because if they were going now, they would be getting so many phone calls. People would be calling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute on the hour to report movement out there, to report illegals coming in, to report things happening out there when they shouldn't be. So like I said, I wish that thing was still going. I would be taking part in that. I took part in it before. I reported several things. Don't know if anything ever came of it, but I reported several things. I used to watch the cameras during the night on my computer. That was when I was living in Indiana. It made me feel like I was part of a good movement to keep people from coming into this nation illegally. It's something they should, the cameras are probably still out there. They're just not going now from all I can figure. But if they could be started up again, that would be stopping a lot of the people who come across, because there was like about 10 or 12 cameras that were placed all along the border out there. And they reported that they said that if you were watching a camera and you saw movement at any time of the day, especially at night, to call a number. And they gave you the number to call. I called, I think, 3 times over about a period of 3 or 4 months. Now, if they still had that thing going and I was still doing that, I'd be probably calling in all the time. I'd be able to tell them which camera I was looking at, so they'd know exactly where I was looking. They'd probably have other people looking at that specific camera and having other people calling in and saying, hey, I see something out there. It's sad that the American people don't know what's going on out there. I know a lot of what's going on out there because I only live about 230 miles from the border. I'm not that far away. A couple of hours in the car and I'd be there. But what we have to realize here, folks, is that when we have people like Mayorkas talking, chances are it's a lie. If we have Harris talking, chances are it's a lie. If we have Biden talking, chances are it's a lie. He's lied to us every day since he took office. And the proof is out there. All you have to do is look. All you have to do is a little bit of research here. All you have to do is look. It's there. It doesn't take rocket science to see what is going on. It doesn't take rocket science to see what is happening. The trouble is, people who voted for Biden, if they're still supporting him, probably do see it, but they don't want to admit it, because that would mean that they made a mistake. And yes, I'll agree, they made a mistake. They voted for a man that is pretty much all but destroyed this country. And he's doing everything he can right now to do it. It's like Ted Cruz said about the border. When Sean Spicer was asking him, he said, I don't understand. Why are they allowing this? And Ted Cruz hit it right on the nail. He said, because they don't care. The Democrats do not care. And the problem with a lot of the Republicans that are in there, as they turn their heads and look the other way because they don't want to get involved. As it sits right now, folks, the only way to turn this whole thing around is if every Democrat, or as many of them as possible, gets voted out of office this election, and then in their place needs to be put fiscal conservatives, not necessarily Republicans, but fiscal conservatives into office that will follow the law of the land, that will follow the Constitution, instead of making up new laws to help push the agenda they want pushed. Right now, the Democrats want gun control. That's their big thing here. And every time we have somebody doing a killing, they go after gun control as the way to solve this. Well, in Indiana, at Greenwood Mall in Greenwood, Indiana, where my daughter works, by the way, they have an Applebee's in there, and she works at the Applebee's. Well, she may have just changed her job, but she worked at the Applebee's. This man who came in shooting was taken down by a good citizen with a gun. He was legally carrying because he was a constitutional carry person. He didn't have a license. He doesn't need one when you're a constitutional carry person. He didn't have military training. He didn't have specialized training with a gun. He didn't have the training that they're saying that we all should have with a gun. His grandfather taught him how to shoot. He fired 10 shots and put this man down. If he hadn't, there would have been so many more dead than just 3. And what's the Democrats doing about it? They're coming down on this man. They're saying that he had the gun illegally, that he should not have had a gun in there. Well, what would have happened if he hadn't had that gun and hadn't done what he did? How many more people would have died? It wouldn't have stopped at 3, that's for damn sure. And the Democrats don't care. They had a good person with a gun take down a bad person with a gun, and they want to take down the good person who had the gun by saying that, oh my gosh, he had a gun. He shouldn't have had that gun in there. It was a gun-free zone. Well, folks, first off, we have to realize here, gun-free zones are where most all of these shootings are happening. They're happening because they are gun-free zones. They're happening because nobody there is supposed to be armed. Your law-abiding people are going to go in there and say, oh, you can't take a gun in there. I won't. Criminals, on the other hand, they'll look at that and just laugh. Ha ha. Laws don't pertain to me. I can take a gun anywhere I damn well please. That's why these mass shootings that we're having are all in, or about almost all of them, are in gun-free zones. Because the people who are pulling off these mass shootings are cowards. They're just a bunch of insane cowards who look for the correct place for them to be so that they can get away with what they're doing with as little interference as possible. When this man broke into the Greenwood Mall, it's a gun-free zone. He did not expect somebody to be in there with a gun. He did not expect the police to arrive for many minutes. In that time, he could have mowed down everybody in the food court. And he probably would have shot many, many, many of them. But what he didn't expect was this young man, this hero, who took him down. When he heard this 22-year-old's gun start going off, he turned and ran. to get out of there, because all of a sudden things were not going his way. He's a coward after all. We have to remember this. Shooters are always cowards. He heard a gun. He knew it was being aimed at him, so he had to get the hell out of there. He didn't make it. He got dropped. And I say, hallelujah, God bless that young man with the gun. But the left doesn't look at it that way. They look at it in the aspect that, oh, he had a gun. It's a gun-free zone. He was in there illegally with a gun. We got to take him down. We got to throw him in prison for this. This was wrong. See why the left is not who should be in Washington right now? See why the left is not who should be in Santa Fe right now? See why the left who should not be in New York or California or Michigan? See why they should be gotten rid of? And then, on top of that, we had 47. Now, this one pissed me off. We had 47 Republicans. Vote on a bill that the Democrats had this week. And I still have my update from the other day that I did on the 21st day of July, where I talked about, I said that the left is pushing gaydom. They're pushing gay stuff on us, pushing on all of us. Now that things finally went our way with the Supreme Court and the ruling on abortion, they are afraid their gay agenda is next. But the Republicans are now helping the Democrats bring it all back. And I got this one from Western Journal, where the headline was, these 47 House Republicans just sided with the Democrats to vote gay marriage into law. This is what's wrong with this country now, folks. This is what is going wrong with this country. We not only have Democrats in office who want to destroy this country, but we have many Republicans who are going right along with it all, and every one of these need to be taken out of office. Some of these Republicans actually kind of surprised me. But my friends, we need to start shutting down the left, and with this, we need to start shutting down the left with this and the right, who have no backbone to do what is right. Because I can tell you now that God is not happy over this one. But almost four dozen House Republican so-called representatives sided with the Democrats in passing legislation that would codify recognition of same-sex marriages. The Democratic Majority House of Representatives passed the Respect for Marriage Act 267-157 on Tuesday night with the backing of 47 Republicans. Notable Republicans who backed the bill included New York Representative Elise Stefanik, the House Republican Conference Chairwoman and third-ranking GOP leader in the House, as well as Representatives or unrepresentatives Liz Cheney of Wyoming, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, Peter Meyer of Michigan, Lee Zeldin of New York, and Nancy Mace of South Carolina. But the others that went with that was Representatives Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota, Don Bacon of Nebraska, Cliff Bentz of Oregon, Ken Calvert of California, Chad Kamak of Florida, Mike Carey of Ohio, John Curtis of Utah, Rodney Davis of Illinois, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Tom Emmer, Minnesota, Brian Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania, Andrew Garbarino, New York, Mike Garcia, California, Carlos Guimarães, Florida, Tony Gonzalez, Texas, Anthony Gonzalez, Ohio, Ashley Hinson, Iowa, Daryl Issa, California, Chris Jacobs, New York, David Joyce, Ohio, John Katko, New York, Nicole Maliotakis, New York, Brian Mast, Florida, Dan Muser, Pennsylvania, Marianette Miller Meeks, Iowa, Blake Moore, Utah, Dan Newhouse, Washington, Jay Overnolte, California, Burgess Owens, Utah, Scott Perry, Pennsylvania, Tom Rice, South Carolina, Mike Simpson, Idaho, Brian Steele, Wisconsin, Chris Stewart, Utah, Mike Turner, Ohio, Fred Upton, Michigan, David Valadeo, California, Jefferson Van Drew, New Jersey, Ann Wagner, Missouri, and Michael Waltz of Florida. Now, the Democrats cheered loudly as the final tally was announced, and this was in something that Politico reported. Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Republican Minority Whip Steve Scalise voted no on this, and every one of them should have voted no on this, folks. All of these Republicans that I just got through naming need to be gotten rid of or sat down and had the Riot Act put to them, telling them that if they ever did anything like this again, their careers were over. This is sad, folks, when we can't even depend on the Republicans who are supposed to be there on the side of God and the side of liberty, on the side of freedom, on the side of the Constitution, are voting for shit like this. And we have to start doing something about it, or things are going to continue heading in the wrong damn direction.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. You get not just one, not two, but three great shows. The one I want to talk about today is Black by Color Only with Southwest Vincent Brown, based out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is Conservative Nation Media's second show of the week on Saturdays. Right now, Black by Color Only is on hiatus until September, as Vince needed some time off to spend with his family. And of course, family is important, no matter what the Democrats have to say about it. So starting again in September, Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown will be airing on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We can't wait for Black by Color Only to restart on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Now, in this, I said in September he will return. He's supposed to return in August, so hopefully the first Saturday of August he will be back.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Coming from the left. This next one that I got also came from, I think it was Western Journal this time. See, Western Journal is one of the ones that I go to get the stories that NBC, ABC, CBS, a lot of times Fox, MSNBC, and CNN don't report. They won't report shit like this. They will not do it. The headline of this, definition of female, gets woke update as American Dictionary bows to the left. Now, when we have dictionaries changing definitions of things because the left tells them to, something is very, very wrong, especially since what the left is telling them to do is wrong. The left has been wrong every time this year. I can look back on everything I've reported, everything that I've talked about, everything that I've said over the last 2 years. And I don't think I could find anything that they were right about. But in this one, leftists have been attempting to redefine the terms male and female for years now. But in a troubling development, Merriam-Webster is now following suit. You know, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary? As noted by Not the Bee, the definition of the word female in the online version of the venerable dictionary has been changed to include, quote, having a gender identity that is the opposite of male. In other words, according to this, if you're a male and you're walking down the street and suddenly say, oh, today I'm going to be a female, you're now a female. See how that works, folks? It also works the other way around, too. If my wife was walking down the street and suddenly decided she was a guy, she's a guy. According to this definition in the female, in the dictionary, Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, whose recent documentary, What is a Woman, addressed this very topic, noted the change on Twitter. He wrote, it was bound to happen. He wrote this on Tuesday. Merriam-Webster has changed its dictionary definition of female to appease the trans activists. However, the new definition appeared as the second entry. Even though these two definitions I missed a line, but it says, the first definition remained as traditionally understood. It describes female as, quote, of relating to or being the sex that typically has the capacity to bear young or produce eggs. But however, the new definition appeared as the second entry. Even though these two definitions are inherently different from one another, Merriam-Webster added the second one in an apparent attempt to please leftist transgender activists who say they're a woman, but they're really not, they're still a guy. Do you approve of these new definitions? I know I don't. A similar change was also made to the definition of male, which now reads, quote, having a gender identity that is the opposite of female. So I can run around and say, well, today I feel like a female. And according to this, I would be. As of Thursday, Merriam-Webster still defined woman as an adult female person. However, the definition of female is now subject to the whims of gender politics. It seems that likely that woman will get a new definition soon, too. In fact, the word girl has received a new secondary definition to, quote, a person whose gender identity is female. The same is true of a boy, now defined as, quote, a child whose gender identity is male. It doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what science says you are. If you feel like a female today and you're a male, you're not a male anymore. You're a female. Same is true with a woman. Western Journal reached out to Merriam-Webster for comment, but did not immediately receive a response. Of course they didn't. In a subsequent tweet, Walsh pointed out the new definition of female seemed to conflict with previous rhetoric from the left. He wrote, "Never mind that the trans activists have always insisted that sex and gender identity are two different things. If they can rewrite the dictionary, then they can certainly redefine their own made-up jargon as they please." Exactly. The Pew Research Center reported on June 7th that just 2% of Americans aged 18 to 29 said they were transgender. 2%, folks, and we're changing the definition, Webster's dictionary, to appease that 2%? What about the 98% who don't believe this crap? Doesn't that go against us? Doesn't that say our science, which proves everything that we talk about, is no longer true? But it went on to say, and an additional 3% said they were non-binary. What the hell is non-binary anyway? That's just people trying to get away with shit that they shouldn't be allowed to get away with, period. Oh, I'm non-binary, so I can do things that binary people can't. No, that's just saying that you think that you're better than everybody else and you can do whatever the hell you want. But it goes on to say, among adults of all ages, just 0.6%, that's 0.6%, said they were transgender. So we're changing all these things for 0.6% of the population? Where's the logic in this? The findings were based on a poll conducted May 16th through 22nd with 10,188 respondents. It had a margin of error of plus or minus 1.6 percent points at a 95% confidence level. Based on these findings, Merriam-Webster changed its definition to accommodate at most 2% of Americans and likely less. Where's the logic in this, folks? Of course, the definition was also made to appease leftists who are not transgender but wish to push a trans agenda onto the rest of us. That's the same thing as with these electric cars. They're doing the same thing with that. But this is not the first time Merriam-Webster has bowed to the woke mob. When the publishing company added Antifa to its dictionary in March 2018, the definition was, quote, a person or group actively opposing fascism or an anti-fascist movement, unquote, according to Time. The definition curiously omitted any mention of crime or communism, and Time even linked to a separate article for a more in-depth explanation that said Antifa groups often engage in extreme vandalism and other forms of violence. Merriam-Webster also changed the definition of anti-vaxxer to include not only the people who are opposed to vaccines like me, but also those who oppose regulations mandating vaccination. Of course, there are plenty of people who are not inherently against vaccines, but are against mandates forcing people to get vaccines. That makes them an anti-vaxxer too. In the end, Merriam-Webster's willingness to bow to leftists only adds fuel to their deranged ideas, which is bad news for anyone who believes in objective truth. Why? Because there is no objective truth in what the left believes. There is none. Absolutely freaking none. And because of what the left is doing, and because the left is now telling all of us that anyone can do whatever they want and that no one is mentally ill, no one is what they say they aren't, we get things like this. This one was also from the Western Journal. The headline of it was Highly Intoxicated Florida Woman Arrested After Pitchfork Attack Who Says God Was in Control. Folks, this is just the beginning of what is coming if we don't put a stop to this. A Florida woman was jailed Tuesday after an incident that involved a whip, a pitchfork, and teddy bears. You can't make this stuff up, folks. And a minivan, folks, was stabbed. The story began when Florida Highway Patrol was summoned to a Publix grocery store in Mineola, Florida, on Tuesday about 2 p.m. This is in the afternoon, according to the New York Post. The store manager said a woman was trying to sell teddy bears behind the store. But that wasn't all. The woman, state troopers were told, had stabbed a minivan with a pitchfork and was walking around with a black whip. Black CNN commentator admits he is... This is another story I should talk about black CNN commentator admits life is worse for black Americans under Biden. The pain is more intense. But the owner of the minivan did not press charges, as he should have. But he said he would pay for the damages himself. But police still wanted to speak with the woman, Lisa Sloan, 56. When a trooper told her to drop the pitchfork, she did not obey and walked away, but was taken into custody by force, according to the Post. Is our mental health system horribly underfunded? I think so. After Sloan was put in the back of seat of a police car, she allegedly unbuckled her seatbelt and began to kick at the rear window. That effort resulted in her feet being placed in a device called a hobble. Because she had cuts and bruises all over, troopers wanted to know what had taken place. The response, according to the police report, was that she felt no pain anywhere anymore and that God was in control. Stone appeared to be highly intoxicated on some sort of stimulant drug, but did not have any odor of alcoholic beverage, according to the police report. Sloan was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill, which is a third-degree felony in Florida. As of Thursday, she is still in Lake County Jail with a bond posted at $2,000. The Post said Sloan has had previous arrests for petite theft, P-E-T-I-T, and probation violation. The stories just seem to keep getting more and more insane as we go along, don't they, folks? It seems that America is quickly going to hell in a handbasket. There are so many things going on right now that if I was told these things would happen 10 years down the line 10 years ago, I'd have told whoever was telling me this that they were crazy and that nothing like this would ever happen. We are definitely living in the end times, folks. This is something that we need to start opening our eyes to, because if we don't, things are going to get much, much worse. Another one that I also got from Western Journal was an armed man goes for Representative Lee Zeldin, but a moment later, lawmaker frustrates his plans with one move. A Republican congressman and gubernatorial candidate might have saved his own life Thursday. This was also on Thursday, folks. Representative Lee Zeldin of New York was attacked by a man using with a weapon during a campaign appearance in Rochester suburb of Fairport. Videos showed the man walking on stage and appearing to place something close to Zeldin's neck. You're done, he said to the congressman. Zeldin quickly grabbed the man's wrist and said he and others wrestled the attacker to the ground. Monroe County Sheriff's deputies proceeded to take the man into custody. Charges were yet to be filed against the arrestee as of early Friday morning, according to the WHEC-TV in Rochester. Now, if this attack had gone against a Democrat, say, Pelosi or Maxine Waters, charges would have been filed against this person before they even left the grounds. But this one, 24 hours later, charges were yet to be filed. Why are they taking so long to file charges? Why? Because he attacked a Republican. The outlet reported the man has been identified as David Jackbonus, 43. Zeldin indicated that he acted quickly to stop the man before he could deliver a serious blow with a stabbing weapon. Someone tried to stab me on stage during the evening's rally, but fortunately I was able to grab his wrist and stop him for a few moments until others tackled him, he said on Twitter. He tweeted out, thank you to everyone who reached out following tonight's attack in Fairport. Someone tried to stab me on stage during this evening's rally, but fortunately I was able to grab his wrist and stop him for a few moments until others tackled him. That was tweeted. Security guard facing zero charges in self-defense shooting after watching. Oh, that's some other story, but it says Zeldin went on to criticize New York's bail reform laws, predicting the man who attacked him would be released from jail quickly. And he was. There was another story that I found that's in this stack of stuff that I have that says he was released with no bond. But the attacker is in an Iraq war veteran who is under an influence of alcohol, WROC-TV in Rochester reported. Zeldin's Democratic opponent in this November election, New York City Governor Kathy Hochul, condemned the attack. Zeldin is running for New York governor in a year where some Republicans expect the GOP candidate to compete in a reliably Democratic state. One of the things that is going to hurt us on the left is the fact that Zeldin is one of the ones who voted to make gay marriages legal. That, to me, tells me that he's not someone we need. And let's see if I can find that other story that I had. That talks about how, well, maybe I didn't print it out. I don't know, but I guess I can go and see if I can find it here. I think it was in Breitbart. Let's see here. I don't see it right at the moment, but I know it's around it, and it says that he has been released. It's an article. Yeah, here it is. Lee Zeldin campaign. Attacker freed from jail exemplifies why crime is on the rise across New York City, across New York. This article was the one that I had found was written by John Nolte, but this one, it says Representative Lee Zeldin's gubernatorial campaign is blasting the release of the congressman's accused attacker from jail thanks to the state's no bail law as an example of why crime is on the rise across New York. On Thursday, Zeldin was giving a campaign speech in Fairport, New York, when a man can be seen on video footage jumping on stage and attempting to stab Zeldin in the neck. Zeldin can be seen immediately grabbing the man's wrist as a group of men jumped in to take him down. The man, identified as 43-year-old David G. Jacobonis, was immediately arrested and charged with attempted assault in second degree, a felony. Thanks to New York's no bail law, Jacobonis was released from jail within hours of his release, of his arrest. It is terrible public policy that in the state of New York, you can try to stab a sitting member of Congress or anyone else for that matter, and he is back on the streets even 6 hours later. Zeldin spokeswoman Katie Vincenz said in a statement. She continued and said, "This is one of the many reasons why crime is on the rise, especially in certain parts of the state. There is not enough accountability for people when they commit crimes, and this is just one of the many examples. We hear all about it in New York every single day. Enough is enough." The attack on Zeldin came after New York Governor Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, directed her supporters to show up at the congressman's campaign stops. Does this sound familiar, folks? If we think about this, this is exactly what the Democrats are going after Trump for doing. He was telling his supporters to show up. And peacefully protest. But she didn't do that. She said she directed her supporters to show up at the congressman's campaign stops. Hochul, in a press release, also used inflammatory language, calling Zeldin a dangerous lawmaker who is spreading misinformation and lies. Who is the ones who's spreading misinformation and lies here, folks? It's not Zeldin. It's not Abbott of Texas. It's not DeSantis of Florida. It's not any of the Republicans who are out there right now. It's all the Democrats. They're the ones who are spreading misinformation, but they're telling everybody in the mainstream lying media that it's the Republicans doing it. But New York's no bail law every day helps free an array of accused criminals. The law, first signed by former Governor Andrew Cuomo and unchanged by Hochul, allows suspects accused of violent crimes like second-degree manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, and child sex crimes, among others, to be released from jail within hours of being arrested. Most recently, two men accused of smuggling 1.2 million pounds of crystal meth for the Mexican drug cartels were released from jail in New York City following their arrests. This is wrong, folks. This is wrong. And what? Hi, Sarge. I'm glad to see you there. We will be right back. I went right on by the 8 o'clock time. I'm going to stop for the break, and then we will be right back.
We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned.
Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins. In these uncertain times of rising gas prices, inflation, and crime out of control, people look to the courts for balance and stability. Sadly, there is little of those things in our courts today. Kerry Morris brings to the New Mexico Supreme Court 40-plus years of experience, including being an assistant district attorney for the Bernalillo County District Attorney's Office and representing thousands of individuals in his private practice. Kerry understands the issues facing most people and the need for a Supreme Court that is equipped with the experience to address the issues presented in cases that come before it, with a balanced consideration of the rights and interests of the parties and all concerned, with a court that is willing to uphold the Constitution and prepared to look at all sides of an issue before rendering what may be a far-reaching decision that affects the lives of all who live in the state of New Mexico. Vote for Kerry J. Morris for New Mexico Supreme Court. He will bring the experience and balance to the court that this state needs. He cares about justice and will always put justice before politics. Paid for by the 2022 committee to elect Kerry J. Morris to the New Mexico Supreme Court with Clara Cates, treasurer.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNM's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
And I had to do my part in shooting those fruit bats. We got Sarge in the chat room, and he's talking about how they seem to be multiplying exponentially. And the problem with all of this lies in the fact of the media itself, because the good things that are actually happening, you won't hear of. If you listen to CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, and a lot of times Fox, you won't hear this stuff because they will not report it. There's a lot of things right now going on with Hunter Biden. Charges are being filed against him for the things that he's been doing, and the left keeps saying, no, he didn't do anything at all. The media keeps talking about that too. No, he didn't do anything. There's no reason why we should even look at this stuff. But he did do stuff. It's been proven. And it's like I'd said, this whole thing with Zeldin getting attacked and then the guy being released from jail just less than 24 hours later. This would not happen, folks, if Zeldin had been a Democrat. The man would still be in jail. There would be all kinds of things going on right now that would keep him in jail, because the left wouldn't want him out. He was, after all, going after a Democrat, if this happened to a Democrat. This is the way they think, folks. And they absolutely love it when the Republicans will go and swing across and join them in the aisle and vote for things that they want. Like this gay marriage thing that 47 Republicans joined in with the Democrats to vote for to make gay marriage legal. Why are they doing this? This was mentioned by Newsmax a couple of days after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. So I've thought about this one for a couple of weeks, or for a month now. The left was starting to fear that their hold on the gay community and their ability to make the gay people normal, which they aren't, they could see that slipping away too. Now they're doing everything they can to push this. And 47 Republicans helped. Every one of these Republicans, some of whom actually kind of surprised me, should be taken out of office. And Sarge says they're speaking to specifics now about Biden, violations of the FARA Act, fax concerns, and perjury in filing, but out of filling out a federal firearms 4473 form. All these are things that would take a Republican out of office or put them in jail, and everyone around them who knew about this would also join him. But since it's Biden, everything that's going against him, the media won't report. I don't think I've seen anything in the Albuquerque Journal about this. They're a liberal rag. My dad used to use it for kindling to start his barbecues. They're good for that. But we have so many things going on now that just go completely against what the United States stands for. And if it's against a Democrat, you won't hear much about it in the mainstream media anyway. This whole thing about the highly intoxicated Florida woman who was arrested after a pitchfork attack, you won't hear about that in the mainstream media either. They keep those things quiet. Another thing that they'll keep quiet is another article that I had found that the Air Force Secretary has now revealed that the Pentagon may provide Ukraine with the devastating A-10 attack aircraft. You know, the Warthog? And the article started out with the first paragraph saying a heavily armed attack aircraft known as the ground soldier's best friend might make its combat debut in the Ukraine. This is something that I haven't heard in any of the networks. Fox, MSNBC, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC. I haven't heard it in any of them. But there it is. And Sarge says the DOJ is reportedly working on a plea deal with Hunter Biden. This indicates that many crimes related to trafficking drugs and women and extorting and taking bribes in the millions from foreign entities while his dad was Obama's vice president will be unindicted. This, folks, is the reason why we are having so many problems here in the United States. Because the plea bargains always go for the Democrats. And he goes on to say they are seeking to sweep the more serious stuff under the rug by getting him on less serious matters. And on the less serious matters, they'll push those. If it starts to get to the point where they think we can get rid of the big stuff, if we just push this stuff here, they start thinking that way, and it seems like they're starting to. Then the places that I named, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, CNN, will start reporting these things. And they'll report them so that people will stop looking at the other things. Thanks, Sarge, for that. That's something I had seen in one of the articles that I had printed out. But right at the moment, I have freaking no clue where it is. But the problems that are happening here in the United States has a lot to do with who we have in office. Here in New Mexico, we've finally got some good competition against the Wicked Witch of the North up in Santa Fe, as my pastor calls her. and that's a whole nother story on that one. You know, my pastor in his rants at church calls her the Wicked Witch of the North. And the Santa Fe newspaper actually quoted him as saying this. And the governor is now following his Twitter feeds and things like that so she can find out what he's saying so she can actually have the ability to weave a new story. But what they're doing with Biden is that they want all of us to just, as Sarge says, leave the big guy alone. They don't want Biden involved in this. This is all treason, folks. And it's like I'd said before, if Biden had been a Democrat, a Republican, he'd no longer be in office. They'd have made sure of this. But since he's not and he's a Democrat, they don't want any of this to show up. They don't want any of this to hit the airwaves. They don't want any of this to hit the stories of CBS. They don't want NBC to talk about this. They don't want ABC or CNN or MSNBC to talk about any of this. They want it all swept under the rug to keep their big guy alone and keep their big guy safe. They don't want him impeached. But I think that's coming too, because I actually signed a petition the other day that was for the impeachment of Biden. And it said that it needed 100,000 signatures, and it was already at 73,900 and something like that the other day. But we'll probably never hear anything about that one either. But Sarge goes on saying, it's the list of Biden crimes goes on, and the corrupt DOJ lets them go while keeping innocent Americans in their D.C. gulag for protesting the Biden stealing of the 2020 election. This is tyranny. It always has been tyranny. I have said this over and over again. Sadly, I don't get many people listening to this show. I maybe get 20, 30 people who, over the track of time, will actually listen to what I say. Makes me wish that I had that golden EIB network microphone. Because he was listened to by millions of people. He scared the Democrats to death. And some of the things that us little guys say would scare them to death if they ever heard us. And every once in a while, somebody who hears my show will send it off to somebody else. Then I'll get a new listener. It's just like Vincent with his show on Saturday. His show is getting really, people are starting to hear about him. And for a while, when Bing was doing his show, people were hearing about him too. Thank you about that. Yeah, Sarge says we are doing the Lord's work, ripples in a pond. Sometimes it's those ripples that get the job done. Because somewhere along the line, that ripple is going to be noticed. The problem with that is if it's noticed too soon and we're still too small, maybe they can get rid of us. But then again, being able to be on the internet and do things, there are things that I could actually do with this computer that even if I was gotten rid of off of Blog Talk Radio, I could probably still do this show and maybe make a bigger ripple anyway. One of my good friends in California, Douglas V. Gibbs, does a show called, my mind just went blank, but he does a blog called Political Pistachio, and he teaches the Constitution. He has actually been doing this for many, many years. Him and I started on Blog Talk Radio back in about 2005. Something like that. And he's got himself quite a following now. And he is actually making a living teaching the Constitution out of California. Pretty amazing. But he has talked to me several times about coming into New Mexico. And I've done several things like talking to my church about having him speak there because it's one of the biggest venues we have here in Albuquerque. He could speak to 2,500 people at one time there. And he said that he's going to be coming into New Mexico sometime in July, which is going to be cool. And he's running out of time, but I'm going to have to talk to him, find out what he's doing, what his plans are. But if he comes here, that would be neat. But what he's doing is pushing an agenda that the left doesn't want to hear. Those little ripples in the pond, so to speak. And Sarge, if you want, you can call in. It would be an honor again. But I am coming up on the half hour mark. I'll go ahead and do my break right now, and I'll get back with you in a few moments.
The news for America that is good for America never gets reported. So that's why shows like NWCR Radio exist. We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins. Okay, we are back. Call in number 646-478-5284, and we have a phone call. Let's see, will it come up? There we go. You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I just couldn't resist an invitation to call in, so I said, okay, let me go ahead and get it on here. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing great so far. It's been mighty
man,
fun.
Man, I mean, you're covering, look, I think we can all agree that there are a multitude of threats to our individual liberties, freedoms, prospects, and overall threats to our country's national security and its vital interests on every single front. It's like we're constantly running around trying to stamp out these individual fires that keep cropping up everywhere while, you know, sometimes losing sight of the greater conflagration that is feeding all of these fires, and that is the ultimate great global reset. And
yep.
a recent example of that is this push to electrical vehicles. Have you ever seen anything quite like this? That is in so defiance of logic, reason, science, fact, and the things they purport to be attempting to repair, it doesn't make any sense. Until
well, you
examine,
know, almost, almost every day I see an article about some electric car that is blown up into flames in a parking lot while just sitting there, or people finding out that they can't get their cars fixed because there's nobody to fix them, or the battery's going to destroy the economy because they have to drill and dig for the lithium or whatever the hell to make these batteries, and the battery packs themselves cost more than the car did in the first place.
Man, look, they say this is for the environment, and you got to remember that every one of those battery packs in your typical size car weighs anywhere between 800 to a ton and a half. Electrical vehicles are 40% heavier than comparable vehicles of the same weight because of these incredible battery packs they have to have, which takes up about 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic, and you got 6,000 individual lithium ion cells in your typical battery pack. Now, all this stuff's got to be mined. In order to make one individual battery, they think you've got to dig up roughly 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for every individual battery. To say nothing of the fact that you got to process about 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for the nickel, and 25,000 pounds of ore for the copper. And this stuff has gotten from places where they have to do pretty much semi-slave labor, like in the Congo, like in Afghanistan. And it's going to empower Red China because 75% of all solar panels and electrical vehicle batteries will be manufactured in Red China.
Yep.
And then that leaves aside the question of the electrical grid cannot handle the increase in saturation of battery-powered vehicles on the electrical grid. Right now, only 2% of registered vehicles on the road are electrical. Just think if that was increased to, 25%. There is no way the existing energy grid can possibly handle recharging those vehicles. Now, even I will admit that in time, many, if not all, of these technological problems can be worked out, and or at least significantly reduced, I mean, as far as being problematic. But the point is that even if it can be, this technology is not ready for prime time, it is not mature, and they're trying to shoehorn us into it by 2030. The cost will be beyond anybody's reckoning. The people who are instituting it have absolutely no understanding as to how anything works. It's like they're technological illiterates. They don't understand Ohm's law from turning on a water faucet. They don't understand anything about voltage or amperage or transmission of alternating current over high transmission lines or what ampere hours is or what wattage is or anything. They want to wish into being this golden utopia of emissions-free electrical vehicles, which it will not be because they are actually powered by coal, liquid natural gas, and oil. All electrical vehicles are, again, powered by liquid natural gas, oil, petroleum, and coal, and maybe nuclear power. There's no other way to generate the electricity that gets to the outlets. I was looking at this silly executive chick at GM chirping about the new battery they got and how wonderful it all is and how what a technological marvel it is. So somebody asked her how does it get charged up and where does electricity come from? And she pointed to the building and said, it comes from in the building. She actually said that. This is a GM executive. It comes to the building. Then somebody else asks her, well, where does that come from? How does it get to the building? Oh, I think it comes from some place in Michigan's power utility plant. And then they cut away to the guy at the power plant explaining how the electricity gets there. You know, and it's fired by coal. We use mainly coal-fired plants to generate the electricity.
Yep.
And now they're talking about a massive increase in electrical power grid to do it. What this will do will make us more dependent on them, and it will empower our adversaries and the rich oligarchs who are going to be investing in and funding all of these new electrical vehicles, who mainly donate to the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the Democrats here in New Mexico have already shut down one of our coal-fired plants. A great big one up by the Four Corners area, and they've already shut that one down.
I mean, when you look at the aggregate of what they say, you know, the environmental cost of switching over to electrical vehicles and the existing internal combustion engine, which is becoming cleaner every year, you know, I don't think you have a net savings in greenhouse gases. In fact, you might have a net detriment. Do you realize that what they're talking about with this climate, and look, this is about climate fanaticism, and it has nothing to do with the environment, because what they are talking about is greenhouse gases. That's what climate is. It's different from pollution, because pollution is not necessarily climate change. We're talking about what they say. Their argument now, what I'm going to repeat to you now is essentially their argument. We know that greenhouse gases make up about 0.04 of all things that contribute to climate change. Mm-hmm. Now, out of that 0.4%, they are saying that 3% of it is caused by anthropogenic man-made activity. So they're saying in order to prevent climate change, the 3% that is man-made, this is their argument now, is the tipping point that causes climate change. So in order to get rid of rapid climate change, we've got to stop the 3% of emissions that mankind contributes to the atmosphere. And they're neglecting, of course, or they often don't like to admit that 95% of all greenhouse gases are caused by greenhouse effect in the atmosphere is caused by water vapor, which is caused by evaporation, which is certainly what we don't want to end because we want to have rainfall.
Yep.
I mean, but this is their argument. And I all the bilge about hurricanes and winds and earthquakes and tidal waves and you name it, you know, all of it just has no bearing in logic when you look at it and you consider that the warmest period in Earth's history was the Cretaceous period, which was anywhere between 145 million and 65 million years ago when human beings weren't even around.
Yep. And there definitely wasn't any cars.
It's all a tool to get us under their thumb and their control.
Yep. And if you remember back a few years ago, they had this big thing about cow flatulence, how it was causing climate change.
Well, we could see the effects of this in countries like Sri Lanka, the Netherlands. They're actually destroying their nation. They've already destroyed Sri Lanka. The World Economic Forum had a very boastful article by a former prime minister of Sri Lanka talking about how they were going to make their country rich by 2024 following all these environmental provisos that the World Economic Forum was dictating.
Yeah.
And they scrubbed it from the web because every one of their prescriptions had led to massive poverty, economic and societal collapse in Sri Lanka. Now they're doing similar things in the Netherlands. They're telling the most, I think, the second biggest exporter or third biggest exporter of agriculture in the world, a prosperous nation like the Netherlands, they're telling the farmers they got to kill half of their livestock. Stop using nitrogen-based fertilizers.
Yep.
And they're starting to revolt over there. They're on the verge of revolt in the Netherlands. This is all propelled by these climatologist fascists and fanatics.
Yep.
It may be the most insidious movement going on today.
Yeah, that's for sure. And they're also getting close to a lot of the protests that are going on here in the United States are going against them too, which is kind of and they're not looking at that, but they're just so disconnected from what is really going on. It's almost scary.
Well, they're connected to what's going on. Their connection is they want control. They want totalitarian control over us. And I don't think there is probably a quicker way to do it than to control the food supply and the energy supply.
And
by being able to influence and or control it, either directly or indirectly, they will have control over us and they will be able to implement the Great Reset and the tearing down of everything that is and recreating something else, something totalitarian and absolute. I mean, look at Bill Gates and his initiatives. They're talking about artificial meat. They want to eat crickets and bugs and slugs and worms. They're serious about this.
Yeah, they are. And the problem is, if they don't get shut down, they get more and more serious about it all the time.
It's like they redouble their efforts, the more resistance they get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is absolutely frightening what we're looking at. And we've got a marionette of a president who's absolutely enthralled to these people. He has got a brain cell in his head that functions. And he literally repeats back whatever they put in front of him. Whatever
yeah.
it is.
And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's like you said, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If he is told that it'll work for their agenda, he's for it.
Yeah. It's the blindness with which he repeats it back and just regurgitates it. It's like with the COVID. COVID, did you see this book written by Dr. Birx? Where she admits to lying and misleading the public? What is he doing? Is her conscience getting to her so bad she's got to confess her sins? Have you seen
yeah.
it?
No,
she
I haven't.
She literally says we were deliberately misleading the public and fudging the numbers and everything else. I mean, it's like she's writing her own indictment. I'm talking about her legal indictment.
Well, you know, they're doing stuff.
This is her mouth. This isn't ours criticizing her. This is what she's writing in her own hand.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing it because nobody else is getting any consequences for their actions. They think they can go ahead and say stuff like this, and there'll be no consequences to what they're saying, and nobody will actually listen to it if it goes against the Democrat ideals.
Well, with this current regime in power, why would she think otherwise?
Yeah.
I mean, look,
exactly.
Steve Bannon, to get rid of Steve, sent Steve Bannon a joint for a couple of months, maybe more, who knows. And,
yep.
you know, Eric Holder, what did they do to him for lying to Congress? And sending
Nothing.
Guns to Mexico to kill federal agents and about 200 or 300 Mexican civilians.
Yep, they
what
didn't
they
do a
him?
Thing to him. Nothing.
No. The biggest gun grabbers in the history of mankind sending guns to drug cartels while trying to take away guns from law-abiding citizens in the United States. At a time when the police are depolicing and not answering calls, and they're countenancing
mm-hmm.
rioting at the highest levels, and releasing criminals on the street with no bail, and complaining, I could not believe it, watching some of these leftists complaining about a man who violated the rules of a mall, not even a state law, because there's no state law in Indiana that says you can't
nope.
carry a gun into a mall. Now, this is a law about trespass, meaning if someone gives you notice that you got to leave because you violate one of the little rules or something, and if you don't leave, they can arrest you for trespass. They can't arrest you
mm-hmm.
for having a gun in the mall. You're otherwise legally entitled to carry it.
Nope,
they're complaining about that he was in the mall armed with the gun. He's in the mall armed with the gun, and they're complaining he was there to stop the killer from killing dozens of people. They were complaining.
Yeah, that blew me away.
I mean,
but,
these people are demented.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Just rigidly, they're rigid idea, rigid fanatically
idealistic
ideology is just warping any ability they have to linearly reason and think.
Yeah, because they don't think at all. It's like that was one of the first things that came out was that the man who stopped all of this had the gun illegally. No, he didn't. Indiana is a constitutional carried state.
Exactly.
And
like I said, whatever he was violating was a mall rule, not a state law. If they knew he had the gun, they could ask him to leave the mall. And if
mm-hmm.
he didn't leave, I guess you could arrest him for trespassing. But that would be it, not for having a gun.
Nope, that's for sure. And then they went after the fact that he didn't have any military training. He didn't have any anything from a registered gun place that taught him how to shoot. His grandfather taught him. Well, that was probably
yeah,
better
exactly.
teaching than they teach in the gun shops anyway.
Look, I was a SWAT team instructor and instructing firearms in the National Guard. I was a certified firearms instructor. We never had to qualify with a handgun to be on 25 yards. This guy took this guy out 80% hits out of 10 shots. 80% hits on a man-sized target at 40 yards. I am impressed.
Yeah, I was real impressed with that.
We never had to qualify on beyond 25 yards with a handgun. And he's doing that kind of shooting at 40 yards. That is impressive by any measure and standard. And he did it in 15 seconds.
And he killed nobody else.
And he hit, but no, all the shots were in right in close proximity or hit the target intended.
Yep.
So his grandfather taught him well.
Very well, yes. And I've always been impressed with that. But, you know, one of the things that I keep talking about on this show, and I've said this for years now, 95 to 96% of all these mass shootings are in gun-free zones.
Well,
and
if you think about it, the kind of people that are mass shooters seem to be located in blue states. Why is that? Could there be a correlation? What do you think?
Well, I think so. But
something about people living in blue states who just seem to be more inclined to that sort of thing?
Yeah. Plus the fact they're cowards. They don't want to go into a place where they know guns are going to be. They want to go into a place where there's not any guns so nobody can stop them.
Well, if you read that Peyton Gedron's manifesto, The Buffalo Shooter, and I did, he specifically cited that consideration.
Mm-hmm.
That by Buffalo had neutered so-called assault weapons, so he was people who would be obeying the law would not have as much ammo to shoot back at him. Yeah, he specifically said it was less likely he was going to encounter those guns in the first place. So he put that as a specific consideration in his planning of attack. He
mm-hmm.
mentioned it in his manifesto.
Yep.
The gun laws in New York.
Yeah, and
that's
almost
another reason they didn't want his manifesto to be seen.
Yeah, and actually, if you go looking for it, you can find it anywhere. But the problem with that is the Democrats don't want anybody to find this stuff because it helps to push the narrative that they're wrong, and they don't want to be wrong, even though they are all the time anyway.
Well, I had to love the way Thomas Massie schooled those idiot Democrats in the gun hearing the other day, where he pointed out the weapons that are not being banned, and I hate to give Democrats ideas, but you got to tell the truth. Weapons that are not being banned are weapons of war like the M1 carbine that was specifically designed for the United States Armed Forces and was used
mm-hmm.
to conquer Iwo Jima and Okinawa and on the Normandy beaches and at Salerno and, you know, ended up driving to Germany and into Korea during the Korean War and into Vietnam. And it's a semi-automatic weapon firing an intermediate rifle cartridge with a 30-round magazine as fast as you can pull the trigger. And they didn't ban it. It literally is a weapon of war that can do exactly what an AR-15 can do at close range. Exactly. Exactly. And it's not
mm-hmm.
banned. And he pointed out, George Patton saying the M1 rifle is the greatest battle implement ever devised. That literally was a weapon of war, literally designed for the United States Army, and literally not banned. The AR, the Mini-14, 5.56, 30-round magazine, fires 5.56 NATO cartridge, same ammo most AR-15s use, fires fast as you can pull the trigger, exactly the same way, exactly the same bullet, exactly as fast. They didn't ban it because it doesn't look scary.
Mm-hmm. It has to be black and scary.
But Nadler let the cat out the bag when he asked him, you aware that the Bruin decision speaks, rather the McDonald decision, and the Heller decision speaks about arms that are in common use. The most commonly owned semi-automatic rifle in the United States is the AR-15 and its variants. There
mm-hmm.
are literally 20 to 30 million of them owned in private hands right now. And they said, and he pointed out that Supreme Court said arms in common use are ones that are constitutionally acceptable. And he asked them, they're in common use. And Nadler said, well, that's the problem. And he says, the problem is they became in the common. He just let the cat out of the bag. He's not supposed to say stupid things like that. So he admits we're going to violate Supreme Court ruling with this law. He just out admitted it. They're in common use, and for him, that's the problem.
Yeah, they come out and admit what they're talking about, but then they when they realize they've admitted it, they just shut up and don't say anything more about that, and they go to the next one.
Yeah,
but
go to the next thing, right? They're utterly lawless when they talk about the rule of law, and they talk about Trump, who's bringing up a constitutional theory which is yet to be legally tested as to whether the vice president's role in the electoral count is merely ministerial or whether he has an ability to question the results of what is clearly fraudulent and or unconstitutional. Now, that has not been tested by any Article III court. Many scholars say it can be. But they say that what Trump was asking Mike Pence to do was not only unconstitutional, but illegal, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a constitutional theory that has yet to be tested in court, and Mike Pence didn't do it anyway. He simply disregarded Donald Trump's belief.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's got a right to express that belief under the First Amendment. Plus, he's the chief executive who has a duty to look into election fraud, and we got plenty of evidence of that. I mean, it's mountainous.
Yeah. It,
I mean,
they
talk about violating the Constitution. I mean, look what we got here. We got the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that 570 ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin were illegal. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's the Wisconsin Supreme Court saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pennsylvania court, the second highest court in Pennsylvania, saying that the Pennsylvania state legislature violated the state constitution and the federal constitution. We got the state of Georgia clearly violating the state and federal constitution when Brian Kemp and Raffensperger changed election law without the consent of the Georgia legislature. None of that has to do with conspiracy. It has to do with matters of constitutionality and legality. And we haven't even begun to talk about the ballot harvesting and the voting machines yet. We haven't even begun to talk about that yet. We're still talking about the states that violated the Constitution and whose votes should have been discounted
mm-hmm.
on that basis.
Did you hear about that thing they were talking about the other day? I'm trying to find it now about how they were saying that 144 million things in social media and in the news has been, when it comes to conservatives, has been censored over the last 6 months.
Why is that low?
Yeah, they said it was 144 million.
I hadn't heard about
million.
That one specifically, but I'm surprised it's not more.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but to them...
I mean, they got algorithms that just seek out things that could be made by a conservative that run afoul of the strictures of these high-tech overlords.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised it's not more.
But it just blew me away that they said in 3 months, 144 million things had been censored for against conservatives in social media and... And I can't find it now. I have no idea where I saw it, but it just kind of blew me away.
Yeah, well, I know you're not surprised.
No, not at all.
But again, about the election. Now, think about it for a minute. You know, all these things that these people are saying that they expect us to just accept and not question. I mean, you got the last four presidents who were involved in elections. You got, I think, 62 million votes for George W. Bush. You had 60 million or 63 million for Clinton. I think the highest Obama ever got in any of his two elections was 66 million. You had Trump get 63 million or so, 64 million or so during his first election. In his second mm-hmm. election, he got even more, close to 75 million. And most ever for any incumbent president in the history of the United States. And Joe Biden, who didn't campaign, didn't leave his basement, who never got more than a few dozen people at any rally he ever did, got 81 million votes. And, of course, that all makes sense.
Yeah, it never did to me, but I you know, all the Democrats say it does.
Thou shalt not question, or you're guilty of being an insurrectionist.
Oh, I must be guilty then.
Yeah, you and me both. I ain't buying it. I ain't swallowing it. No way, no how.
Nope. Absolutely.
It's like I'm trying to get electrical vehicles are going to be good for the environment, or good for our individual transportation.
Yeah, and our electrical grid won't handle it because California is already talking about brownouts without the electric vehicles involved in it.
Well, the state of Texas, ERCOT, this commission that runs the electricity down in Texas, they specifically sent out a memorandum saying people who own Teslas should not attempt to charge them during periods of high electrical activity. And it's not that many Teslas in Texas. They get 23% of their electrical power from wind and solar. Can you believe it? A state swimming in oil with the energy density that petroleum and fossil fuels has and the ability to power all of the needs you can possibly imagine is reliant on windmills and solar power. Windmills. Isn't that technology, wasn't that old in the 15th century?
Well, you know, you go down to the southeastern part of New Mexico and going into Texas, that's all you see out there is windmills.
It is just fairy dust.
Yeah.
It's fairy dust. It cannot run a modern society. I tell you a group of people who don't believe in any of that, the Red Chinese, I don't believe they got a windmill in sight. They manufacture them, but they don't use them.
And they sell them to us.
And they're using coal. They're firing up their coal plants and burning all the coal they got over there.
Mm-hmm. And the funny part about that, about the whole thing is the American oil is cleaner than any oil in the world, and yet we can't use it because it's bad for the environment, but we can buy it from Iran or from Venezuela.
Yeah, and then we got to ship it all that way over here to be refined.
Yep.
And that burns up more carbon to get it here. Rather,
no,
I think you don't know if we already got it on the continental United States, wherever it is, that's going to be less carbon to ship it to the refinery, ain't it?
Yep, absolutely. And
Reason does not matter in these discussions. Only the political agenda does.
Yeah, and their political agenda is their god, I think.
Yeah, they worship Mother Earth, Gaia.
Yeah.
You know, Mother Earth, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. I mean, they've got their own sacraments, and they have nothing to do with those of the Christian church or the Catholic church.
Yeah, and they here in New Mexico, they keep talking about how we need to do certain things. They closed down all the churches in this state at the beginning of COVID, and I think there were two or three churches here in Albuquerque that didn't close. One of them was mine, and the governor fined my church like $15,000 for staying open and not doing social distancing and all that stuff, and we didn't require masks, and the governor fined us like $15,000, and our pastor wouldn't pay it. He said that, and we had other churches in Albuquerque saying, just go ahead and pay it and get it over with. And he said, why should I pay something to somebody who is wrong? And he never did. Yeah, and the governor finally came and said, okay, let's get this taken care of. And the church actually won because they never had to pay. The fine is gone. And that's what standing up against this tyrannical government will do for you. But the people just don't think that they can do that. Well, you can. It's been shown.
Well, they did the same thing or doing the same thing with these pro-life clinics that give mothers counseling, treatment, and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And show the fact that these people are literally into a culture of death. They are condemning those people who do it simply because they don't countenance abortions and discourage it. So enabling human life is something that sets these people into a frenzy. These people are just a culture of death. Everything about them is not which enables death. It doesn't contribute to fostering life.
Yeah. And it just, and One of the things my pastor said was that if you want to go against these people, just ask them one question and don't waver from it. Just ask them, why are you intent on killing a baby?
Well, and I think they've gone beyond that now in their desperation to save it. They're actually now proclaiming their pride in abortions. I saw the Attorney General of the state of New York, an elected high office-holding official, stand up before a crowd and proclaim her pride in having killed her baby.
Yeah, that's the same thing
Letitia New Mexico, James.
That's the same thing New Mexico governor did.
Yeah.
That's the same.
I mean, they are going into a new dark epoch. They used to, back when they were trying to convince you that they were reasonable about killing a baby, they used to try to say, well, we regret it and we don't want it to happen very often, but it's important that women retain this baleful option. Now they make no pretense of it. They are celebrating it as a positive good.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the forces that are arrayed against us are things like we've never seen before.
Well, you know, my wife had a thing on her Facebook thing the other day where she was talking about how abortion is evil and everything, and that you're killing, just killing an unborn baby. And this lady comes back and says, before they're born, they're not even alive yet. What?
I'm like, would somebody ask these people, since we all know that whatever your corporeal form is, I'm not going to leave metaphysics aside for just a moment, that does not occur until the union of your father's sperm and your mother's egg. That's when the 46 chromosomes that make you who you are begin to exist. That literally is the continuum upon which your physical lifespan is. So I just ask any of these people who are saying the baby isn't alive and it's not really living, it's not even, at what point in the continuum of your life from your conception to now is it okay to kill you? And why do we say the first 9 months is pretty much acceptable and the rest isn't? Because if any point that's interrupted, you cease to exist as a living entity.
Yep.
I mean, every single one of us was at that stage where they advocate killing the baby. Every single one of us walking around. These people act like they're divorced from it.
Yeah. And I did a show
I say to some of these people that every single successful abortion ends a human life, they look at me like I'm crazy or something.
Yeah.
Like it isn't true.
Yeah, most of them believe it isn't, though. That's the problem.
It's amazing. The cognitive dissonance they have on this matter is just amazing to watch. The pretzels they twist themselves into to try to get away from the reality of what's being done, which is why almost the entire conversation is wrapped around the woman and almost completely neglects the life that's being destroyed. I'd say maybe 5-10% of it is devoted to that matter, and the rest of it is all about the mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's astonishing to me. The baby, killing the baby is the whole point of the exercise. It's not like you're taking out your appendix or your tonsils, or even if you want to turn healthy reproductive organs into a simulacrum of the opposite sex. I mean, because after all, that is your body that you are mutilating or electing to mutilate, but we know that with a baby, it's a completely other body. How can a male body be part of a woman's body? That's why we're having all the controversy over it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But like I said, simple logic doesn't apply in these matters. I could accept their arguments. I can't ever accept their argument. I don't think this. The only reason, the only justifiable reason for abortion in a pregnancy is when it endangers the physical health of the mother or her life. I think that is an acceptable reason for abortion. And for me, I don't even put rape and incest as worthy acceptance because I don't put a child conceived of rape or incest as being less worthy of life than anyone conceived in love. But if they would make the argument that killing a baby in a womb because of the enormous inconvenience it will provide to the mother or for any other reason is a form of justifiable homicide, I would at least say they have a certain intellectual consistency and basis. Because I believe in justifiable homicide when it's necessary. You know,
yeah.
Like we know self-defense or you're a soldier in a war against a lawful combatant or whatever. I accept the notion of justifiable homicide. And
mm-hmm.
if they would make the argument that an abortion is justifiable homicide, so at least they acknowledge the humanity of the thing that they're killing, then at least we have a common ground upon which to stage the discussion. But they won't do
mm-hmm.
it. They don't have the courage to do that. They want to
no,
pretend it's
don't.
Not human.
Yeah, and they've gotten away with that too much.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm hoping now this tide has turned so at least we can have an honest discussion about it.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done is an honest discussion about this whole thing needs to be said. But as long as the left controlled that, an honest discussion about it was never possible.
And that's by design, because the implications
mm-hmm.
of accepting killing the most innocent amongst us, children in the womb, is too much to bear for even those who are abortion fanatics. That's why they have to obfuscate it so. What I found really interesting was, I don't know if you ever heard of this term before, but the Germans had, during World War II, the Nazis had units they called Einsatzgruppen. They were death squads they sent out to, before they started the concentration camps and the death camps and the industrial scale of systematized extermination of undesirables, as they put it,
mm-hmm.
they had a relatively inefficient method of death squad. They sent out men armed with small arms to round up people and kill them by the tens of thousands. You may have heard of Babi Yar in the Ukraine. Well,
yeah.
Babi Yar was one of the more famous instances of Einsatzgruppen A, I think it was. And they did that massacre at Babi Yar. Anyway, these SS killers, who were many psychopathic and criminal and all that other stuff, people were in it. Many of them weren't. They were just people who were ideologically dedicated to the Nazi cause. It was kind of a mix.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, even these people, the worst of them, were being affected by the killing they had to do at close hand. They were having
mm-hmm.
nightmares. They were getting drunk all the time to try to drown this out. They were committing suicide. These were SS killers. And they couldn't cope with killing like they were on the scale they were, which just goes to show you that I think the reason for all of this stripping away the humanity of the fetus in the womb is similar to that. That's why the Nazis, well, one of the reasons the Nazis went to the death camps and the ovens, not only because it was more efficient and more systematized, but because it removed the layer of the human interaction between the murderers and the people they're murdering at the end of a pistol bullet or a rifle shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch a lot of that stuff. I can't think of the channel that I watch, but it they talk about the Nazi war crimes and all the things that they got away with. One of the things they keep saying is that they have to keep putting this stuff out there because if people forget that happened, it's going to happen again. It's the same thing as that thing that goes around that, you know, says if you forget your past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah. Well, I think the similar mechanism is at work with these people who like to pretend that a child in a womb is not really a human being. It's not really alive. It doesn't feel any pain or whatever they want to put it. It's a similar mechanism to those SS killers, the ones they had to, why they had to find another way other than efficiency, because it was literally costing them, the men who were killing them could no longer cope with killing all these people who they knew were innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Even they, as evil as they were affected by the mass butchery they were committing.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why they changed to the ovens, because these guys were going insane doing what they were doing.
Right. They said, oh, you don't even see it. They just herd them into the shower. You shut the door. You step away so you ain't got to hear the wailing and the yelling. And you open the door and you got a bunch of dead people. And then Sonder commandos The concentration camp inmates do most of the heavy lifting, taking them out, having the bodies burned and all that other stuff, throwing them in the pits, burning them. You know, our hands are removed from the dirty work of it all. We just tell them, go to the left, go to the right. The ones they say to go to the left, they herd them in the ovens, and boom, it's very efficient.
Yeah.
I think that I think the modern-day abortionists are looking for that sort of efficiency in the abortion industry. They're divorcing the humanity from the act of what they're doing.
Yeah, now they're afraid that might not happen, so they've got to figure out some other way to do it now because Roe versus Wade's been overturned. And they're constantly harping and saying, well, that's a constitutional right. It never was a constitutional right.
No. That's clear as a bell. It was never a constitutional right. It was a matter to be left to the individual states. I was actually hoping that the Supreme Court would go one step further and grant 14th Amendment Section 1 protections to children in the womb. I was actually hoping they would do that.
Yeah, they should have done that.
You know, that you're not supposed to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that they would do that. They didn't do that. That would have been my hope. Might have been a bridge too far to hope for. But sending back the states means that at least the people can influence this process democratically through their legislatures the way it was intended to be.
Yeah. Well, maybe now they can, if they think they can get away with it, they could maybe go that route and go and do what you had just said. But
well,
I mean,
for each individual state be to grant personhood to children in the womb, which, of course, is going to come with a whole new set of parameters involved. And, you know, then I could see the ability of a mother to say, well, this is a person that needs to be supported. They can go after child support for the child in the womb and all that stuff. Okay, I get it. And of course, you're going to have the dummies up here saying, well, that means they're going to be allowed to vote. Well, no, well, they got to be 18 before they can vote. So that takes care of that. Don't worry. We got a minimum age to be drafted and to get a driver's license, so don't start with the nonsense, all right?
Yeah, and
a baby that just comes out of the womb is a living human being entitled to 14th Amendment protections. It can't vote, it can't join the army, it can't be sued, it can't sue on its own behalf, that is. So, you know, that argument doesn't wash whether you're in the womb or out if you're a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be silly and bring up this nonsense, so, you know.
Yeah, but the thing that really, really gets to me is how silly they've actually gotten. And they think that they're doing the right thing, but they're being just so silly, it's almost demonic.
Well, you know, Anna Arendt wrote a book called The Banality of Evil. It was about those very self-same Nazis and how many of them were not, many of them were not actual frothing at the mouth sociopaths or crazy. They were ordinary people who just been seduced by evil notions. And we've got a lot of people today who are puerile, juvenile, vapid, silly, I think more so than any time in history, because people don't have to grow up as fast as they did in the 19th and 20th centuries anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keeping somebody on health care plan till you're 26 is a sign of infantilization, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're seeing more of that all the time, so it's not surprising that they make so many juvenile, puerile arguments. They sound like children.
Because they are.
And it's so banal. It's like evil just being expressed in the most banal fashion, like Anna Arendt spoke to when she talked about all these Nazis doing all these war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of frightening. In its own way, it's more frightening.
Yeah, and the problem that I keep seeing is that if they get away with one thing and whatever they're doing is frightening and they get away with it, the next step is going to be worse. And there's always going to be a next step.
Well, yeah. Look at how the illegal immigration issue has metastasized over the decades. And remember how they first sold us on the Hart-Celler Act back in 1965. They specifically lulled us by saying it would not change the ethnic mix of the United States, it would not overwhelm the system, there would be no real changes as a result of it, just trust us. Yeah. They were very specific in saying that. And now we see what they did over the years. In order, the people who wanted, the Democrats thought they could, through demographics, attain more power. The Chamber of Commerce types thought they'd get more cheap labor. And everybody in those two camps acquiesced to give us the situation we have now, where we're being invaded by literally millions of illegal aliens. They estimate we're on track for 4 million illegal aliens by the end of Joe Biden's term, just in his term alone. Four million.
And they keep saying that there's no way they can find them all. Well, they can. They just don't want to.
Well, it would be a big logistical effort. Of course, it could be done. But here's the problem. When illegal aliens come to their official notice, they don't do anything with them to deport them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say, okay, I appreciate the logistical problem of rounding up 20 to 30 million illegal aliens and ship them out of the country. Remember when the best example we have of it being successful is Eisenhower administration's Operation Wetback. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of it, yes. But
General Eisenhower, or President Eisenhower, appointed a tough paratroop general, a guy named Sink, to head the Customs Division. And they enlisted the at that time there were no sanctuary cities or states. He enlisted the cooperation of all the states that were most affected by illegal immigration, secured their cooperation, and they successfully rounded up more than 800,000 illegal aliens and deported them out of the country, all in the space of about a year and a half. But again, the country was different back then. We didn't have these Marxists who've taken over everything and all these places in government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could that be done today? There would not be cooperation with it. But at the very least, you would say, if an illegal alien comes to the attention of the governmental entity, then steps should be taken to support them and or their family. You would think you could at least do that, but we can't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been here living law-abiding and peacefully for 10 years. How can you think of deporting them?
Because they came here
and
the first
time they
did.
It doesn't even matter if criminals, they won't deport them. Drunk drivers, robbers, rapists, they still don't get deported.
Yep. And
not in every instance.
Yeah, I had somebody tell me that one time, and I told them, well, when the first thing they did when they stepped foot on this country was illegal, that made them a criminal.
Like I said, logic doesn't enter into this debate. Like I said, we couldn't do Operation Wetback today. But once upon a time, this country did it. And nobody thought anybody's constitutional rights were being violated.
Yeah, anymore, you do something like that and call it that, they'd say you're a racist.
Yeah, well, you know, what if they'd have called it Operation Wet Foot? Would it have made a difference?
No, probably not. They'd have still had something against that.
Yeah, they would.
Well,
there's no other world that has this level of illegal immigration. I thought it was bad, like, in Italy and in Austria and a few other places. But you take places like Hungary, they just shut it down almost completely.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they'd do it here, because living here...
It's the worst world right now.
Yeah, living here in New Mexico, I see a lot of that.
Yeah. Yep. There's no such thing as an illegal person. Right. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you called in. I've gone like almost a half an hour over, which is cool.
But, that's good. That's
and,
good. The more the merrier.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, after the first... probably the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I think on the sixth, Vince should be back. Hopefully.
I'm looking forward to getting
back. Yeah, I am too, because I enjoy his shows. And when you mentioned fruit bats in the chat room, I went ahead and played a couple of his things about fruit bats.
Oh, man, they are just, you know, at least, but one thing about fruit bats at least do something positive. You know, they eat the fruit, and it's flying around, and they excrete the seeds to plant to get more, you know, it defecates seeds, and it makes more fruit.
Yeah.
They at least do something useful. I mean, what do these human fruit bats got to say for themselves?
They propagate stupidity.
Well, if it's instructive, then that's the only useful thing they do.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's anything useful with what they do, but...
You know, no, because what's the saying that even... Even a bad person can serve as an example of what not to be. I suppose in that respect, maybe they serve a useful purpose.
Yeah. I guess so.
But there's no excuse Joe Biden whatsoever.
No, I haven't found any yet.
Or Kamala Harris. I mean, there's about two most useless human beings maybe on the face of the earth, if not, certainly in government, if not on the face of the earth.
Well, you know, I've seen quite a few people, and one was a Democrat this last week said that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not even fit to hold a federal office, and this was a Democrat saying this, so they're even losing their base.
Yeah, maybe one of these days we might be able to visit that natural-born citizen issue with regard to people like Obama and Harris. And others who claim to ascribe to the presidency and they're not natural-born citizens like the Constitution says they're supposed to be. Maybe the Supreme Court might look at it one day. We can only, from my lips to God's ears, I'm hoping.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you called in because I enjoy our conversations. And I hope you call in again.
Well, I will, and like I said, the main thing to do is spread the word as widely as we can because people are just being told one side of the story for the most part. They get news from the mainstream media. They know nothing of the things that we know of.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to hear those things. They just don't want – they just don't.
Nah.
But
ABC said, and MSNBC said, and Joy Reid said – you know, what's his name on Wolf Blitzer said, you know, well, okay, well, there you go. That explains it.
That's your problem.
Yeah. I've heard those things, too. Now, here's what else I heard.
Yeah, and that's what I usually talk to when people tell me things like that. I said, well, this is what I've heard. And
And I will be back in touch very soon because I enjoy very much the things you're putting out.
Oh, I'm glad you do, and I am glad that you've been here.
Well, we can get more like us. All you do is get the word out, and there are more people. Look, the Hispanic community is definitely listening to us.
Yeah, I've got a few people that live around here that actually listen, and I've actually had a couple of them talk to me and say, is that really true? Yep.
Yeah. More and more of them are really starting to listen. We're really making inroads in the Hispanic community because they're essentially, you know, their very language is gendered.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is.
They don't like the idea of people coming in there and saying, we can't even speak our language without denuding it of its very feminine and masculine quantity. The very language, el, la, you know, mm-hmm. and the feminine and the masculine derivations of the same word. I mean, the very language is gendered.
Yes, it is.
And then what the hell is a Latinx? What?
They don't
use that word. They like the language just the way it is. And these people will tell them they got to change the word. So they started the very language in order to comply with the new diktat. So, you know, they're simply saying that maybe we ought to look at the Republicans. They understand us better than these progressives do.
Yeah, and the Hispanics are even saying that they don't like this whole thing about Latinx. That's stupid. So.
Yeah, you're a Latina or Latino, and they like it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm glad you called, and God bless you. And I look forward to the next time we can talk.
All right, till then. And until then, you take care, and my regards to you and your family. Take care.
And the same to you, too. God bless you all.
All right. When are you going to be on again?
Next Friday, for sure.
I'll be there.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend. Okay, we are at the end of the show now. We've gone a half an hour over. But if you listen to this show, there was a lot of great information, not only by me, but also by Sarge. And if you listen to the show, tell others about us so that they can get the correct news too, because the mainstream, lamestream lying media does not tell you what is really going on. I mean, if you listen to that lamestream lying media, which I call them, you wouldn't know that there are actually things that the DOJ is putting out now against Hunter Biden. You would think that everything with him is hunky-dory and just fine, but there are things being drawn up for against him. And the neat part about this that I'm looking at, too, is that this goes too very far, and it's going to draw the father right in on it, the big guy, because he knew all about it. But until next Friday, we will be back. I hope that you all have a great weekend. And after, I think it'll be the 6th that Vince will be back. So we've still got one more week when he won't be here. But they're coming back. And I've also been talking with Bing. He says that he's in the process of retiring, so he should be able to start doing his show again on Sundays. So that will be really great. So until next Friday. Before I go, one of the reasons why I haven't been doing my daily updates is the camera that I've been using has stopped working for video. I have no clue what happened, but I try and start a video on it, and it'll go for anywhere from 2 seconds to 10 seconds, and then it'll stop. So I'm not really sure, and that's kind of stopping me from doing my updates. I'm going to start doing them again, I think, on Mondays, but I'm going to be doing them with the camera on my computer, which will make them less dynamic and less well-seen because they won't be as high a quality. But I'm working on getting myself another camera, and I'm looking at a Canon right now, which would be a lot better than the Samsung that I've got. But that's the reason why I haven't been doing my updates Monday through Thursday, because my camera has actually stopped working, so I'm not really sure what's going on with that. But we will be back next Friday. God bless you. God bless our troops, and God bless America, and have a great weekend. And I'll see you next Friday. God bless you all.